You just said, thanks be to God, to all three readings, but in a particular way for the purposes of today, to the second reading, to the reading in which St. Paul says to the Corinthians and us, God made him who did not know sin, that we, who are sin, might become the very righteousness of God. God made Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin, so that we who are sin could become God, become the very righteousness of God. In a very real way, brothers and sisters, this is the essence of the Christian faith. This is the essence of your Catholic faith. If you are serious about it, this is why you are here to worship this God who sent his son Jesus to be sin. God sent Jesus to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we who are sin could become God, his very righteousness, if you will. God did not send Jesus here to solve any of your problems. Not that he is not the solution to our problems. God did not send Jesus here to solve the violence that happened in Kansas City today, or that's happening in Ukraine or Nicaragua or every place of the corner of the world. God did not send Jesus to solve our violence, but Jesus is the solution to our violence if we would just let him be the solution. God did not send Jesus here even to forgive our sins, although he is the forgiveness of our sins, if we just let him, by first of all acknowledging that we're sinners. That's why you're here today. You're here to get ashes. I hope most people are here to receive communion, and that you will come back on Sunday to receive communion once you've washed off the ashes in your bathtubs or showers. No, God did not even come here, if you will, to save us. What? Father Ed, Jesus didn't come to save us. God sent Jesus to become sin so that we could become God. As Jesus himself said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. In other words, God sent Jesus simply to be with us. God sent Jesus simply to be with us such that he shares our life in its totality, even though he did never sin. God sent Jesus simply to be present to us who otherwise choose not to be present to God, so that we would learn even now his deep love for us, to simply be with us and not to do anything for us. He's not our servant. He's not our slave. God is not our housemaid or our bank book. No. He came simply to be with us. And you who are married, you know this. I don't need to teach you this. You don't marry your spouses so that they will do something for you. That might be a conflict in the marriage, but you didn't marry your spouse so that they will do something for you, but that you could be with them forever, till death do you part, to be with them. God married us in Jesus. He sent his son that we could be married to him. And as the two become one flesh in marriage, you become the other in marriage. So in the end, we become God, the very righteousness of God, so deep is his love for us. Now, what does it have to do with Lent? Although that's how Lent is introduced, because that teaching is in the essence what Lent and Easter is all about. You see, in the ancients, the letter or the word for sin, for Satan, was the divider, the one who creates distance. When you sin against your spouses, you're creating distance. When we sin against our children or our parents, when we sin against the poor, the community, we're creating distance of the relationship between them. So when we come to Lent on this Ash Wednesday, we come to acknowledge through ashes, which is the disintegration of material or corporeal life left to rot. We come to admit to one another, I have distanced myself from you, and I'm sorry. I've distanced myself from the church, and I'm sorry. I've distanced myself from the poor, from the community. And I'm sorry for my racism, my prejudice, my greed, my gossip, my envy. In a real way, what we do is we go back from today to Mount Sinai, to where God gave us the very basics of being present to Him and present to one another. Honor my name. Attend to my day as holy, Sunday for us. Do not use my name in vain, because my name is love, especially when you use it to condemn others. Damn! Oh, what an offense that is to God, to use His name in vain and to distance ourselves from others by murdering them. And gossip is murder. By stealing from them, by not respecting their possessions or their relationships, by lying to them. Lying is the greatest distancing people can put between themselves in whatever role or political or individual position they fulfill. A lie is a distancing of ourselves from one another and not a coming together. So we admit that we are as if at Mount Sinai, that we have distanced ourselves from one another. And we're sorry for that. I'm so sorry that I have been distant from you in mind, body, heart, thought, deed, and action. And we admit that we've been distant from God, who has said, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers or sisters, you do to me. So when we distance ourselves in the Ten Commandments of sin, we do distance ourselves from God Himself. But here's the key. The key is today, brothers and sisters, we are not undertaking a 40-day pilgrimage. For some, maybe it's even just a one-day pilgrimage to get ashes and then go home. No, today we begin an 80-day pilgrimage. As important to the pilgrimage of Lent that is 40 days as the pilgrimage of the resurrection that is 40 days from Jesus' resurrection to His ascension. And what happened in the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension? He showed us how He is present to us even now and what it will be like when we are with Him in the eternity of His love. Exactly as you read Jesus to be present to the church from Easter Sunday to Ascension Thursday is exactly how you will be present in God. And not simply from the day that you die and then it all begins, but can be even now. So you see, Lent is the recognition that we are distant from God and one another, as if from Mount Sinai to the tomb, but from the tomb to ascension is the celebration of the fact that we have been reunited. We have been forgiven our sins. We have been raised to new life. That the scriptures are fulfilled, that we have become the righteousness of God. And not simply did or not did, got check marks off the things that we did, so now the balance sheet is at least a little bit in our favor. No, put that all out of your mind. If you're a Christian, it's because you know God loves you and not that He's done anything for you. If you're a Christian, you know that you love God and not that you do anything for Him or that He tells you you have to do, that you simply want to be with Him. Because you know He bees with you so that we can become the very righteousness that is God. So we should commit even today that not simply, well, when we leave today, we'll wash off the ashes and the next 39 days make no difference. We should not even commit, well, that the next 40 days make a difference, but the next 40 don't. The next 80 days make the difference for our eternal happiness. They make the difference for our eternal life. They make the difference to the violence that happened in our country today. They make the difference in the way we relate to one another because it's how God relates to us. They make a difference because they're a united way in which we who acknowledge today, I have chosen to be distant from God and from one another, say, I'm sorry. And learn how to be present to one another as Jesus was from Easter to the Ascension. So that's my challenge to you. Read your Bibles. Study your Bibles. Ask the Lord to reveal to you through your study of the Scriptures how He was present to the church for those 40 days. And I can nothing else but guarantee you He will beginning to be present to you even today. And again, I don't make this stuff up. Jesus Himself said, if you believe, you already possess eternal life. Eternal life does not begin the moment you end your earthly life. Eternal life has already begun and has been given to you in your baptisms. And boy, do we need Christians to live their baptisms in this day and age. And when you come to Easter, that is required of every one of us in the whole world who are Catholics and in the Catholic Church, to renew your baptisms, your baptismal promises. Because, brothers and sisters, baptism is the solution to all the world's problems. Christ didn't come to solve our problems. He's not in charge, and boy, if He is, He's doing a really lousy job at it. He came to be with us, and that says everything. God bless.